1 Samuel 15:1-23. These are the words of God. Samuel also said to Saul, Yahweh sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore heed the voice of the words of Yahweh. Thus says Yahweh of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have. Do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. So Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and lay in wait in the valley. Saul said to the Kenites, Go, depart, get down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from the Amalekites, and Saul attacked the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, which is east of Egypt. He also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them. But everything despised and worthless, that they utterly destroyed. Now the word of Yahweh came to Samuel, saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to Yahweh all night. So when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel, and indeed he has set up a monument for himself, and he has gone on around, passed by, and gone down to Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, Blessed are you of Yahweh, I have performed the commandment of Yahweh. But Samuel said, What then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to Yahweh your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. And Samuel said to Saul, Be quiet, and I will tell you what Yahweh said to me last night. Then he said to him, Speak on. So Samuel said, When you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not Yahweh anoint you king over Israel? Now Yahweh sent you on a mission, and he said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of Yahweh? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of Yahweh? And Saul said to Samuel, But I have obeyed the voice of Yahweh and gone on the mission on which Yahweh sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites, but the people took of the plunder sheep and oxen, the best of those things, which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to Yahweh your God in Gilgal. So Samuel said, "Has Yahweh as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of Yahweh? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because you have rejected the word of Yahweh. He also has rejected you from being king." So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. There is much that those who have the word of God sincerely do that they think is right in their eyes, that God hates, and that deserves hell. Notice twice Saul gives his reasoning. A, we did do 99% of what the Lord said to do. B, the 1% that we didn't do is understandable. It was the best of the sheep and the oxen. And C, we might not have done it yet, but it is our intention to do it. They will be destroyed when we get around to sacrificing them. And yet, it was the desire of the people to enjoy them, and perhaps to keep them for themselves. And the real point behind keeping it, even though Saul would not admit it out loud and perhaps not let himself think it, was his own pride and feeling of satisfaction. I have done what Yahweh commanded. Whereas the scripture tells us, if you have done all that the master requires, what have you done that would earn anything from God? You've just done what is required. You're still unprofitable servants. You haven't added anything to God. He doesn't owe anything to you. The reason we know that this is what is behind Saul's greeting, "Blessed are you of Yahweh, I perform the commandment of Yahweh," is where did he go first before he went to Gilgal for these sacrifices? Went all the way up to Mount Carmel. And what did he erect there? A monument, a memorial stone for himself. All of this could have been avoided if he had taken the clues from verse 1. It says, Samuel also said to Saul, "Yahweh sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. It is the Lord who makes us his own by his grace. It is the Lord who gives us whatever opportunity we have to serve him and his people. It is the Lord who sustains us in the service for which he has given us opportunity." This is what Samuel reminds the king in verse 17 when he says, "When you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not Yahweh anoint you king over Israel? You haven't given the Lord anything. He has given you everything. Put to death your pride." And we need to put to death our pride. We do it too.
we, for a few minutes or a few hours, fulfill the duties that God has given us. Because in His grace, He set us apart to Himself, and in His grace, He assigned us what role we would have in serving Him and serving His people. And we do a little bit well for a little while, and we feel like, oh, I'm doing, God should be pretty grateful that He's got me. Look at how well I am doing. We'd never say that out loud, because we can hear the blasphemy. But we feel it in our hearts. God forgive us, and God help us. Oh, that we would be humble enough to say, thank you, Lord, for setting me apart to yourself. Thank you, Lord, for giving me this opportunity to serve you. Thank you, Lord, for sustaining me in it. Help me, Lord, to do it exactly and entirely according to how you have commanded it. For if we are humble before God, then we will not presume to be in the place of God. And it is the place of God to decide whether or not you spare some animals to offer sacrifices. God had given Saul explicit instructions, and Saul thought, oh, there's a way that I can enhance this to make it a little more worshipful, a little more thorough. And the two great places in which we do that, in which believers in our land especially, and at this time, but it certainly isn't unique to our land or our time, the two great places in which they do it is worship and in the law. They'll take God's law and they'll add to it. You know, certain things, the 11th commandment, thou shalt be winsome and well-liked by unbelievers. Or whatever it is, we add to the law. Parents often will do it with their children. It is enough for daddy to say, because I said so. But daddy also must be able to say, because it is right and good in keeping with the word of God. That I would not simply make up rules to have rules, or else I am adding to what God says. Now, you don't have to agree with me, but you still have to obey me. That is between me and God. But in worship, and then in what God requires and what God says, when men go beyond His word, they do like Saul has done. But if we were humble, verse 1, He always sent me to anoint you king over His people, over Israel, then we ought to be obedient. Now, therefore, heed the voice of the words of Yahweh. And Saul says, but I have obeyed. And Samuel says, why then did you not obey the voice of Yahweh? So, some people will sometimes ask whether on the fourth commandment or on the second commandment or on any of the other commandments. If you read the catechism, it does a good job, the larger catechism. It does a good job of trying to pull together all that Scripture says about any of the commandments, any of the ten. And they'll say, oh, why does it have to be so thorough? Well, because God and His word are so thorough. Say, oh, why does it have to be so precise? Well, because God and His word are precise. And if we were humble before Him, and if we were thankful to Him, and if we loved Him, we would say, because God is a thorough commandment giver, may God help me to be a thorough commandment keeper. And because God is a precise commandment giver, may God help me in love and thankfulness to be a precise commandment keeper. Lest we come to God with worship to which we have added something that we thought made it more worshipful or more complete. Or we come to God with morality to which we have added something because we thought we had made it more worshipful or more complete. Or the way of running His church. And we could give other examples. And we hear, because you have rejected the word of Yahweh.
Saul adding that one thing. God didn't say, oh, you modified it a little bit. He says, because you have rejected the word of Yahweh. Yahweh has rejected you. One says, who is able to stand before such a requirement? Well, if that's what you respond, then I've got good news. You might understand the law well. Because that's exactly what the Lord says, doesn't he? In Psalm 130, if you, O Lord, should mark iniquity, who could stand? So we know we're on the right track. When our hearts cry out, who can stand before this thoroughness? Who can stand before this precision? The answer, of course, is Jesus. With him is abundant redemption. He will save Israel from all their iniquities. And so Jesus has perfectly, thoroughly, precisely kept God's law. And even in addition to that, he has atoned for our breaking it. And even in addition to that, he has committed himself to making us to be like him. So if we are saved through faith in Jesus and love him because of what he has done for us and because of who he is in himself, shouldn't we join him as he has given his spirit to be our great helper in it as well, in being conforming ourselves, our character, our thoughts, our desires, our conduct to his very thorough, very precise law. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the way you ordained the fall of Saul to come out and for recording it inerrantly in your word, so that we would have in your word this mirror in which to see what our additions to your law are like in your sight, in which to long for King Jesus instead of King Saul, who has perfectly kept your word in our place, in which to aim at how to serve well under and demonstrate love and loyalty to King Jesus. So help us by your Spirit in these things, for Christ has earned it, and we know that as we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, you have promised that you will be the one who works in us both to will and to work according to your good pleasure. And so we bless your name for this as we ask for your help in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.